Gentlemen, where is
the gentleman? Gentlemen. It's very prestigious people if you look closely. Good afternoon. We would like to first and foremost thank two people. We want to thank Doug Raphael for sponsoring this luncheon.
Who's
he
Doug
cannot
Raphael?
Be here this morning or afternoon, but we definitely appreciate his generosity. The second person we wanted to thank is Elliot, who got this room for us in order to hold our lunch and learn. We thank you, Elliot.
You're
this
welcome.
Is not only comfortable, this is wonderful. You come, you find a parking spot, and you don't even think about it.
We're going to give you all our business. Okay.
I think the business should be here. The topic of today's lunch and learn is the time of day. Namely, why is there such a let-up about time? Most of the people here attend Minyans regularly, and we all know that Mincha changes throughout the year from as early as 4:15 to as late as 7 o'clock. And Shabbos, we can change from the early as 4:15 to around 8:30 at night, 9 o'clock for Mincha. And obviously, throughout the year, we're very sensitive to time. And the question is, what is it based on, and why is it based on it? So first of all, a little bit of the background information. As you can see on the top of the page where it says night, in Judaism, we have a very big thing that certain mitzvot can only be done during the day, and certain mitzvot can only be done at night. So we have to define what is night and what is day. Night, no question, begins at nightfall. However, between sunset and nightfall, as you can see on the bottom of that table on the top of the page, there's a period that we call twilight. That period of time is a very interesting one. It might be day, it might be night, or it might be both, or it might be neither. There are four choices. It's twilight zone. And that's why when you talk about the twilight zone, they always give that scary music in the background, because indeed twilight is a time that we don't know how to define it. And let's see what happens. During the first 13 and a half minutes after sunset, it's pure twilight, but according to many authorities, 13 minutes after sunset is the first time you can daven Ma'ariv. Let's say it's night in terms of the rabbinic commandment to daven Ma'ariv. 22 minutes afterwards is night in terms of rabbinic prohibitions, like fast days, rabbinic fast days. 40 minutes after sunset, I'm saying 40 minutes, but sometimes it changes, is around the time in Halifax that's actual nightfall for biblical commandments like that. And then we add on a little bit for Shabbos, but let's say for biblical commandments of sorts and shapes, that's the time. But this, of course, changes during the year because for some reason, twilight is longer in the summer months than it is in the winter months. Now, what's day? Day is even more problematic because there's many, many different mitzvot you only do during the day. If you look on this little table here, you'll see that first of all, there's dawn. Dawn is like the first shed of light, and that time is considered day for certain commandments. For example, if you have to go to work really early in the morning and you can't daven shacharit at the proper time, which is actually sunrise, you can actually daven shacharit from that time because according to many opinions, that's considered day already. We start rabbinic fast days from that time. The next time is Mishayakir. Not to go into it now, that's the first time you can don your talus and tefillin. Then comes sunrise, then comes 3 hours afterwards, 4 hours afterwards, and let's explain what that is. The halachic day is divided up into 12 hours evenly. What does that mean? Mishayakir means the time that you can begin to wear talus and tefillin. It means, Mishayakir means that you know. In the Gemara it says, Mishayakir ben chelet lavan. There's enough light outside that you can differentiate between your blue tzitzis and the white tzitzis. Anyway, the halachic day is divided up into 12 parts. Every single day is 12 hours. So Victor, how is every day 12 hours? As we know, some days are shorter, some days are less. What happens? Every single halachic day is divided from sunrise to sunset, and according to other opinions, from dawn to dusk, into 12 even parts. Let's say the day began at 6 and ended at 6. Exactly 12 hours. Each hour is worth 60 minutes. Let's say the day... Now, look in this little sheet, the extra sheet I gave you. The side of the sheet that says November on the side. These are the times for Halifax for this month. Let's look on the 10th of November. Second paragraph from the top.
Wait. 10th of November. Yeah.
10th of November. Let's look. Dawn, there's different times of dawn. I don't know exactly what this means here on this particular one. Basically, there's different opinions when dawn begins. But let's look. Sunrise this morning was at 7:04 a.m. Okay? Sunset tonight is at 4:52. How many minutes are there between 7:04 and 4:30 and 4:52? Frank?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever it is, you divide that amount of minutes into 12 equal parts, and once you divided that time into 12 equal parts, that's your halakhic day. Now, the first three, I would call these hours, how can we put it nicely? Sensitive hours to time. These hours are like functional hours. So let's say this particular day, the first three hours of the day ends at 9:31. 9:31 is the last time of the day that you can recite the Shema. 3 hours after you start. Then you see there it says Tefillah. That's the last time you can daven the Amida, and that's 4 hours after the beginning of the day. Once again, the whole day divided up into 12 parts. Okay? So let's say a day like today, where sunset is fairly early, 4:52, you understand that indeed you don't have that much time in the morning to say the Shema. You have approximately 2 hours and 31 minutes. But look at the other side of this same page. Turn it over to the other side. You'll have the times for June. In June, as we know, the days are much longer. Let's look on the 10th of June. The 10th of June, what time was sunrise?
5:29.
Sunset? 8:59. Okay? That's how many hours? 13, 14, 15. 15-something hours. So 15-something hours, obviously, there's much more time. So Shema here is till 9:21. You have a good amount of time between 5:30 and 9:30 approximately to say the Shema.
So your 12 hours is longer than 60 minutes.
Yeah,
each, you can't. Each hour
the halakhic day, so once again, you take the time from sunrise to sunset, divided by 12, each part is an hour. Okay, some hours can be 60, 40, or 70. Depends what time of the year.
What's the earliest you can do this
time? Okay, we'll get to Mincha right now. We'll get to Mincha. Look on this chart. Mincha is basically midday, meaning the sixth hour after sunrise, plus 30 minutes. So if you look on this chart, you'll see noon plus 30 minutes. So today, on June 10th, Mincha could be davened at 1:44. That's the earliest. But today, November 10th, early Mincha can be davened at what time? 12:28. It's Mincha time already. Because the day started, obviously, later, but it also ends earlier. So there's less minutes in each of those 12 hours.
I know we've got some weeks in Mincha right now.
Correct. Absolutely.
Is there any amount of time you can't wait? Is there any set amount of maximum time you can wait for your prayer Ma'ariv? Or is it purely irrelevant?
Correct. The reason that we do Mincha Ma'ariv in the synagogue together is for convenience, so we don't get people to have to come back twice.
No,
but for example, in Israel, where many people are working with many religious people around, they have Mincha services in their offices. And Ma'ariv at night, they have an 8:30 at night Ma'ariv every night in their towns. You like
well,
to call them?
Well, afternoon Mincha at 8:30.
No, I was on the army. They broke out for Mincha down
there. Around lunchtime.
Around lunchtime.
Yeah, lunchtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what time
no,
for Mincha? On Yom Kippur.
Same thing.
Same.
Mincha on Yom Kippur is from that time, whenever it is. This year, what date was Yom Kippur? 24th or 25th of September? So whatever it was, that day, midday, meaning you take those 12 hours, midday, the 6th hour, plus 30 minutes, is beginning of Mincha time. Now, Mincha time, there's Mincha, that's the beginning of Mincha time. Then you have another beginning of Mincha time, which is called Mincha Kitana. If you look on the sheet, you can see, right after noon plus 24 hours, noon plus 30 minutes, Mincha Ketana. That's the time that the actual Mincha sacrifice was sacrificed in the temple. They didn't do it right at the first minute, they waited till this time. So today, for example, November 10th, they would actually sacrifice the afternoon sacrifice at 2:50 p.m.
What does that have to do with us, though?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
In between this second time for Mincha, the time they actually sacrificed the time, and sunset, is a little time called Plaga Mincha, which is exactly the middle in between the two. For example, today, Plaga Mincha is 3:51. According to some opinions, this is a minority view we utilize here in the summer for obvious reasons, and we'll explain why in a moment, that's the nighttime according to one minority view in the Talmud. So today at 3:51 is, according to one minority view, night. You can daven Ma'ariv, the night prayer. You can also light Hanukkah candles. You can light Shabbos candles. You can accept Shabbos. That's considered night. It's a minority view. We usually don't rely on it, but I'll show you why we do rely on it in Halifax in the summer. turn the page to the other side. Let's look at June 20th, for example. Look at June 20th. June 20th, Chag HaMincha is what time?
7:26.
When is sunset? 9:03. So we would, let's say that's an eve of Shabbos. We'd have to wait till approximately 9:30 at night to eat. So what we do is we utilize that minority view, and we daven Ma'ariv as early as 7:26. Or 7:27, the minute afterwards. That's Plaga Mincha, the in-between time, before the time to actually sacrifice the sacrifice, and sunset. Then, of course, you have sunset, which is a cutoff time for Mincha. But twilight, you can still go into twilight if you have to for Mincha. We're not going into the technical details now. That's also the time for the cutoff time for Shabbos. Sunset begins the next day, so to speak. So candle lighting time, if you can see, is 18 minutes before sunset. That's the custom here in Halifax, 18 minutes before sunset. And because of that reason, we basically know that if you, for some reason, cannot light candles on time, sunset's your cutoff point. Yeah?
For the purpose of somebody dying, if they die at one particular time, when does the next day start for
sunset.
Death?
Sunset. Sunset. We go by sunset for that.
Sunset time is the time for the next day.
Okay. What are the customs on that? I mean, you said the custom in Halifax is...
In Jerusalem, the custom is to accept Shabbos 40 minutes before sunset. Which is extraordinary. In other places, it's 20 minutes, 22 minutes. 18 minutes is the norm in most places, and that's why Halifax is no different, I think, than New York in this sense. And that's the custom that's been developed here. The idea is that you have to add on a little bit from the weekday to Shabbos. So here they decided 18 minutes. Also at the end of Shabbos, look on the sheet. Nightfall, let's say, is dusk 7.0. So let's say this Shabbos, what's today's date? 10th. Tomorrow's the 11th, 12th, 13th. 13th this year, 13th of November, sunset, excuse me, 13th of November, I'm on the wrong site. I saw sunset was 9 o'clock, I got scared. 4:49. Shabbos ends what time? Doesn't say in this list, but to make a long story short, Shabbos should end at nightfall, which is dusk 7.7, 5:26. We actually end Shabbos at 5:35 for the same reason. We add on a little bit from the Shabbos to the weekday, at the beginning and at the end. To make a long story short, this chart can make a Jew meshigah nuts, can make him go crazy. Let's think about this for a moment. In the world we live in, people work from 9 to 5. Evening shift to hospital is 6 o'clock in the evening, every night of the year. Comes the Jews and say, no, our night will begin when the sun sets. Our day will begin when the sun sets. So in the summer, when the sun sets at 9 o'clock, we can work a full day on Friday, you won't even notice the Shabbos. But in the winter, when the sun sets so early, we have to leave work early on Friday in order to make Shabbos. It's crazy. What happens when you have to daven mincha? Oh, middle of a meeting, 4 o'clock, work day's still 5. But sun sets at 4:46, 4:30, excuse me, sir, excuse me, my dear board, I got to go out, I got to daven mincha for 10 minutes. It makes you nuts. Not to mention the fact that it can make you nuts in the morning. And I'll tell you why. No one here in Halifax this morning woke up, I hope, at 5:03, 5:24, 5:53, none of those times. We're up at sunrise. We dive in at 7:30, and it takes care of everything. But if you're in the army, let's say, and you're on guard duty in the army, this happens, and you know that you're on a shift of 4 hours on, 4 hours off. You get off your shift, let's say this morning, at around 5 o'clock. What's the earliest time you can dive in? 5:13. But you should daven at sunrise, which is 7:04. Do you wait or not? And the fact that you're waiting to the right time to daven the Amidah can make you crazy. So obviously, this timetable can make you nuts. When we want to do an event in the shul, we always say like this. In general, people eat dinner at 6 o'clock in the evening. So how do we finagle it that davening will start in some way or another, so at 6 o'clock we'll be able to eat? So let's see what would happen this week. This week, if we had a Shabbos dinner this Friday night, that's the 12th, we would have the following situation. Let's see. You can daven mincha. You should. Candle lighting is what time this week? 12?
4:32.
You can daven mincha till 4:50. That's sunset. Let's say we started davening in the shul at 4:35 this week. It's probably when mincha is this week. And we daven mincha. And we finish up. We finish up around 5:35. So what we can do is, you tell the rabbi, give a long speech. So at 6 o'clock exactly, we start dinner. Okay, that's fine. Now what happens in June? In June you can't daven Ma'ariv, according to the minority view, until around 7:26. Yeah, but the Plaga Mincha is at 7:26. It's very late. So that's why it's not convenient for dinner. Many people in the summer say, I can't come to shul because we eat dinner at 6 o'clock every night. The Shabbos doesn't come in until 7:26. Well, you know, 6 o'clock every night is dinner. And that's exactly my point. How does this timetable, trying to reflect what we once did, namely, once upon a time we got up when it was light and went to sleep when it was dark, how does it reflect our contemporary society? What are we going to do? Let's look back on the source sheets now, on the second page of the source sheets.
What you do is you have your dinner early, but make kiddush later.
Well, also an option on every night except for Pesach, but we'll get to that later. To make a long story short, you understand that you need to know when it's night and when it's day for certain mitzvot. For example, you can only do circumcision on the eighth day during the day. So you have to know when day begins. Let's say a guy is going on a trip, and he had a son born, and he has to get out to the airport. So the son was born 8 days ago, and he wants to make the bris today at the earliest possible time. So he has to know when day begins. Day begins at sunrise. So the bris couldn't be this morning until 7:04. But it's 5 to 8. What are you going to do? Well, nothing we can do. Now, in the summer, you can do it as early as 5:29. So you understand, you can make yourself neshiga here. We try to give set times in the synagogue. Shacharit at 7:30. Shabbos morning, 9 o'clock. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. But we can't do that for mincha, because mincha is sensitive to sunrise, sunset, and plaga mincha. Why is God making us nuts? That's the question of the lunch and learn today. So let's see the effects of this timetable.
Well, these aren't God rules, man-made.
No, God forbid. God
forbid. These are rabbinic.
Not God forbid.
Times like this?
The times are not rabbinic. Obviously, the rabbis have a right to deduce from the Torah the various things, but these times are not rabbinic per se.
The times aren't settled in the Torah. They're rabbinic.
No, they're not. God said in the Torah, you have to read Shema in the morning and evening. What's morning and evening? If God didn't tell us what morning... The rabbis didn't interpret it. Certain things the rabbis interpret. Certain things the rabbis got in the oral Torah, which were also given to Moses at Sinai. The fact that it's not written in the written Torah doesn't mean it wasn't given to Moses at Sinai. For example, nowhere in the written Torah does it say that one of the things you can't do on Shabbos is to plow a field. How do you know that's one of the biblical commandments given for Moses at Sinai? The oral Torah, not the rabbinic interpretation. Rabbinic interpretation means they interpreted it the way they thought was right. This is an actual law given directly to Moses and transmitted throughout the generations. Now,
okay.
If anyone wants to know about this subject, about what's rabbinic and what's biblical, please read the last few Parsha Partners, except for the last one. But we dealt with this since the beginning of the year, about the oral Torah and the written Torah. We had a lunch and learn about it last year. There's many sources we can give. But definitely this is not one of the interpretations. This is actually given. When God said night and day, we have to know what night and day means. I mean, if you ask a guy in Halifax, when is night time? 6 o'clock in the evening, every night of the year. You understand?
No.
Anyway,
okay.
To make a long story short, what's the effect? So first of all, I wrote here, when he is. A Jew knows when he is. If he's sensitive to mincha and sunset, he knows when he is. And I'll give you an example of this. I never really have thought of it until recently. I was on the phone in our shul a few weeks ago with someone, non-Jewish, about various issues he was dealing with. And I'm talking and talking. And then I notice already the minions outside. And I say, listen, I really have to go into minion because it's 10 minutes till sunset. He goes, sunset? When is sunset? I go, I don't know, sunset's 5 o'clock. He goes, I didn't know there was such a thing. I said, what do you mean? He goes, for me, evening begins at 6. And then all of a sudden it hit me. We as Jews are sensitive to nature. We're sensitive to sunrise, sunset, midday, all these things. For example, last year I left the Lunch and Learn in February. From the Lunch and Learn, 2 hours later I went to Israel. Because it was 2 hours later I went to Israel, Mincha Maariv in the synagogue was not till like 5:30. I missed it. Now, I was tempted, there was like 20 people there, let's have a minyan right now, for mincha at least. But then I said, I'm going to take away from the minyan in the shul, I shouldn't do that. So I had this debate. But the only reason I utilized it was because I was sensitive to midday plus 30 minutes, and it happened to be exactly 1:30 that day. I was so excited, but of course I didn't want to take away from the minyan in the shul, so I didn't do it. But the truth of the matter is, you know where you are. Like today I know sunset is at a certain time, and that's our cutoff time. If we decided mincha this week in the shul is at 4:40, we know because sunset is around 4:50. And we need 10 minutes for mincha. So the Jew is sensitive to when he is. Secondly, another thing you have to know about this whole timetable is not all moments in time are equal. There's a time for putting on tefillin, and there's a time for saying the Amida. There's a time for prayer, and there's a time inappropriate for prayer. If you look on this chart, 4 hours after the beginning of the day, after sunrise, you're not allowed to daven shacharis anymore. Even though you want to. You got up at 10 o'clock, you watched the football game at night, you watch the World Series, it ended at 2 o'clock in the morning. You woke up at 10 o'clock this morning. You woke up at 10 o'clock. Today's the 10th. You woke up at 10 o'clock this morning, and You showered, you took a shave, 10:20, you're ready to put on your tefillin. You can put on your tefillin all day, but you can't daven the Amidah because it's 10:20 already. That's it. You want to pray to God, you want to thank Him for the Red Sox winning the World Series, but with all due respect, that's the time inappropriate for prayer. And sometimes you have to rush to finish in time, Frank, and sometimes you have to go slower because it's not time yet. Has anyone here ever been at the Kotel at sunrise? You have to make a video. There's probably a video somewhere. You have to see it. Maybe if I'm in Israel, I get a video, I'll show you this. It's an amazing thing. People want to daven at the first possible moment until it's sunrise. So in Israel, sunrise is a little early, so 5:30. So they start davening at 5, and they daven slowly. And then at 5:20, they're already ready for the Amidah. But it's not time yet. And they're all waiting there like this, twiddling their thumbs, looking at the sun. The minute it's 5:30, sunrise, they start. Imagine those minutes of temptation. Well, let's say Meir is in the shul. Let's say we sat mincha in the summer at 7 o'clock. So I got mincha not until 7:25. So I have to make a long speech so that we get to the first possible moment. But I can't start davening Meir early. That's a very, very annoying thing. But what basically it tells you is maybe it's not the appropriate time to daven. The appropriate time is later. And this is very, very important for life. Because some things, when I was a kid, they always taught me, don't put off things for another day. Do it right away. Don't do tomorrow what you can do today. That's what my teachers taught me. To a great extent, that's true. When you get up in the morning, don't wait to daven. Daven right away because the time's going to go. But on the other hand, if you want to daven now, but it's not the time, then you have to wait. I want to daven shacharis right now. It's the middle of the night. No. Wait. It's not appropriate. And this leads me into the next point, and that is, I think, the most crucial point of it all. In the common contemporary society we live in, we do not think about when is it the appropriate time to do things. When is it appropriate to talk to you, and when is it appropriate not to bother you? When is it appropriate at a shiva house to give a long speech, and when is it appropriate at a shiva house to say, to keep your mouth shut? What do we think of? We think in different terms. When is it convenient? Where can we slip it in? For example, a person works from 9 to 5 and he's entitled to lunch. He doesn't think when is the appropriate time to eat, when does my body need the food, or when is it the most appropriate time. He thinks of when is it convenient. So if you have a business meeting at 12 and at 1 and at 2, lunch today will be at 3. You have to go home and spend time with your kids, right? Do we think when is the appropriate time to be home, or do we think when is it convenient to be home? It's convenient to be home after work. But after work, your kids are about to go to sleep. Or they're not in the mood, they're watching TV. So if you come home at 6 o'clock and they're watching Seinfeld till 7 o'clock, that's not the appropriate time to come home. The appropriate time to come home is maybe at 3 o'clock when they come home from school, and you give them apple juice, and you take them out for ice cream, and then at 4 o'clock, go back to work. Because that's when they need you. That's the appropriate time. There's an appropriate time for shacharis, for mincha, for maariv. And it's very important to know that in life. There's appropriate time and there's non-appropriate time. And that's the biggest problem I've seen in many, many ways, in many different places. I've seen it at shiva houses, I've seen it in many different ways. People just don't know what to say because they don't think of it in terms of what's appropriate. They offer the same thing always. They go to a shiva house, buy condolences. Well, some person doesn't need condolences. The father was 90 years old, he lives a long life. They don't need condolences. Another person died at 35, they need condolences. If you say my condolences, that's cheap. It's a bigger tragedy. You have to know what's appropriate to say. And we have to think in terms of appropriateness, not just convenience. And there's a very big difference between the two. Now, in the secular world, what happens? I took an example here in America. I'm sure in Canada you'll find the same example. When is Labor Day? When is Labor Day?
First Monday.
First Monday in September. So we can say first Monday in September is Labor Day, no big deal. When is Washington's birthday? Whenever he was born. When do they celebrate Washington's birthday? And a Monday in February. Why on a Monday? New? Mark? Mike? Michael Argan. Why Monday and not Thursday?
Long weekend.
Long weekend. Convenient. Not appropriateness. We're not celebrating Washington's birthday. We need to acknowledge that George Washington was the founder of America. He's the guy, we have to acknowledge his birthday. Now, let's do it at the most convenient time, the middle of the week. Ah, not good. Let's do it at the end of the week. Here, for example.
Here's the Queen's birthday, same thing.
Same idea.
Queen's
Victoria Day.
Yes.
Victoria Day is always going to be on Monday, regardless of when the Queen was born. because you need it to be the first Monday in August. You cannot have it at the appropriate time. You have to have it at the convenient time. Thank God there's one holiday, I have to say, in the secular world, the Goyish holidays, they do keep certain dates, like Halloween was on that night of the week, even though it was a non-convenient night. This year, Kratzmach is coming out at the end of the week, no days off, but still, that's it. When is New Year's this year, you know? Shabbos. Saturday. Most people are off, so off. What can you do? That's the way it is. You can't change New Year's to the first Monday in January.
You take money off anyway. Sorry,
We'll find it. Indeed. November 11th is always Veterans Day, regardless of when it is.
No, it's Monday.
No, it's not Monday. It's Thursday. Last year was Tuesday. November 11th is at least a date. But in general, when you take George Washington's birthday, it's the first Monday. And this is the first Monday, it's convenient. It's not appropriate.
Easter Sunday, they always change Easter Sunday.
No.
They don't fall on a certain day?
No, Jewish holidays, as opposed to this, like Labor Day, always fall on a certain day.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about
Every holiday.
I thought there were some holidays that... Not
fall for a Shabbos or yes. With regard, no, that's, you have to understand.
The rabbi's holiday.
Actually, this is a little mix-up here, but it's very important. When they made the original calendar, way back when, they made certain rules. And that one of the rules was that Rosh Hashanah can never come out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Those rules are the same rules like in a secular calendar, the same way you have 31 days or 30 days. But having said that, every day Rosh Hashanah fluctuates. It's Monday, it's Tuesday, it could be Monday or Tuesday, it could be Thursday, it could be Shabbat. Pesach can never come out on, the first day of Pesach can come out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can't have it, but you can have it on Saturday night, Sunday, like this year, you can have it on Shabbat.
Which one was that?
Pesach can never, the first day of Pesach can never be Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
But
they just have to put certain rules in the calendar when they made it. It's a technical rule, that's all.
It's a result.
I'll tell you what the reason is. The reason is very simple. How many days are there in the year? 365. How many days does the moon go? Does the Earth go around the moon? 365 plus a little bit. The problem is that the way we divide up the days to 24 hours is not the way it's divided up in reality. So every society has to, so to speak, make concessions. So what do? We have a little trick with February. We 29, 28, we play around with February. And we do 31, 30. The Jewish calendar too has these tricks. We have certain months that are 30 days, 29 days, and we have these rules with regard to the holidays of the year. So that's part of why
Adar
it comes
two.
Out. Adar 1, Adar 2, very different rules. But to make a long story short, the Jewish holidays will always fall out on a certain date. And that's very important. It's the appropriate date celebrate our emergence from Egypt. It's not the convenient date. Conveniently, Pesach should always be on Shabbos. Why? Everyone will come to shul. It would be wonderful. When our tradition, there was the, what was the name of the stukim? How do you say stukim in a nice English language?
Righteous?
No,
Sadducees.
Yeah, the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the oral Torah, so when it said that you're supposed to start carting Sphira to Omer from after the first Shabbos, and we know in tradition that means after the first day of Pesach, they said no, it means Shabbos. So they always celebrated Pesach on Shabbos. My joke has always been, of course, it's a weekend. You got people in shul, it's wonderful. Right? If the holidays of the year was always on a weekend, it would be wonderful. Instead, you got in the middle of the week, you got to struggle. But indeed, in the Jewish calendar, we do it by the appropriate time and not by the convenient time. Now I think it's the most important thing that we have to say about this whole issue of time of day. You know when you are, and you also know when it's the appropriate time to do it. And sometimes you rush, and sometimes you go slow. It depends where you are, and you have to be sensitive to all that. Now, there's no question that many times two things coincide. If you look at the last page here, many times things coincide. For example, mourning and joy can coincide. In general, during the Jewish year, we have times for mourning, like Tisha B'Av, and we have times for joy. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. We have solemn days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But what happens if someone's sitting Shiva right before a holiday? You know what happens? He's sitting Shiva? He stops.
Yeah.
Look at the source here in the middle of the page. Tractate Moed Katan 19a, Code of Jewish Law, 399.1. A mourner sitting on the floor in grief approaches the sunset bringing on the festival and gets up, showers, and changes his clothes and joins his community in celebration. It's a problem. It's not appropriate now to sit shiva. Yeah, you're grieving over your father, your mother, but it's not appropriate to sit shiva now. The whole Jewish nation is being happy. It's the Seder night. Everyone's sitting in a sukkah. It's not appropriate. It's a problem. They coincide. It's a big problem. What happens when, God forbid, there's a big tragedy in Halifax and happened to be on a yontif? Do we cancel our yontif celebration? What happens? In Israel, this happened many times. What happened when there was a big terrorist attack on the eve of Purim in Israel? It happened a few years ago. I remember it distinctly, 1996. Yeah, March 96. Terrorist attack in Tel Aviv. Eve of Purim, 2 hours before Megillah reading. Do you cancel Purim? Do you celebrate Purim? And how do you celebrate Purim? Big question. Yeah.
No, but you can't change your emotions and grieving.
We're not talking about emotions. We're talking about external experiences like sitting on the floor and things like that. According to most authorities, even when a mourner is no longer seeing shiva on a yontiv, in his heart, he can continue to mourn. And that means God cannot command you what to feel. He can only command you what to do. It's a big issue in itself. Can God ever command you what to feel? You can do a lunch and learn on that too. In general, though, why is it that the mourner is no longer mourning and now is in joy? Why? What's the reason? It's the eve of Pesach, so why did he stop mourning? Because the sun has set. Times changed. It's not the same day. Times have changed. And that's, in essence, the whole idea of times a day in Judaism. Be aware of the flow of time. The sun setting is an ebbing of a new day. In Judaism, when does the day begin? Night before. Usually when people go home from work at night, it's to rest off from the day they just did. In Judaism, it's the opposite. The new day brings about a new obligation. If you go home on Friday, you're not resting from Friday. There's a new obligation called Shabbos. You have to make Kiddush. You have to enjoy Shabbos. There's many new obligations that came into effect. Judaism is vastly different from the contemporary society in the sense that when the sun sets, a new day begins. It's not an old day ending. It's a new day beginning. There's a constant flow of time. And if we go on, let me just end with this point. If you look at the bottom of the page, you can see in the year 2004 how the contradictions between the contemporary calendar and our calendar are so evident. First of all, before electricity, a person got up at dawn and went to sleep at dusk because he couldn't see. And you can't have candles all night. So in the winter, they would have a long night. It would be a problem. In the summer, you have a short night. Nowadays, 9 to 5 is work. Evening begins at 6. We go to sleep at 10 after Walter Cronkite, whatever it might be. And that's it, every night. Big difference. Secondly, when do you eat Shabbos dinner? So when do we eat dinner at night? When do you eat dinner tonight, Frank?
I'll be lucky we get dinner.
All right. What about you, Victor? 11 o'clock at night every night, right?
Did you say for tonight or Shabbos?
No, tonight.
6:30.
Whatever. Now come Shabbos, when are you going to eat dinner?
After Shabbos.
After Shul. Okay. That's a problem, because Shul could be at 4, 5, 6, 7.
No, but you don't have to use any time with it.
No, afterwards you can eat any time, I agree. But the fact of the matter is, you can't eat a Shabbos dinner before dinner time of Shabbos. So for example, in the summer, if you're going to eat dinner before Shul, that could be dinner, but it can't be Shabbos dinner. The Shabbos meal of the night of Shabbos only begins after Shul on Friday night. And believe me, we daven at the first convenient time, the first available time, so there's no question that that's the time. No. If you, like, for example, this week, if you finish Shul at 5:30, but you want to eat dinner at 8, there's no problem with that. What I'm trying to say is, the opposite is a problem. If shul begins at 6, you want to eat dinner at 5, and then when you come home from shul, you're not going to eat dinner for Shabbos, that's a problem.
Wow.
You have to make kiddush and challah.
We always have rabbi here now, so service is started at 5:30 for people, but like, it's not great.
It's very nice to be accommodating, but there's a certain limit you can be accommodating.
And that service is so long.
Yeah.
But that's good too, to have the dinner before and make kiddush later.
If a person needs to, for example, they need to eat at a certain time every night because of diabetic reasons or health reasons, my suggestion to them would be, yes, eat dinner at your normal time, but then when the day actually sets, the sun sets, then make kiddush and have a piece of challah. At least eat something for Shabbos. You can't...
That's considered a Shabbos meal?
Yeah.
What constitutes a Shabbos meal before a meal?
Bread, kiddush, and Friday night and Shabbos morning, it's kiddush and bread. And challah shittas, according to most authorities as well, has to have bread, no kiddush. That constitutes a Shabbos meal. Now, you're supposed to also enjoy Shabbos, so obviously we have big meals on Shabbos. We have three courses. But obviously, for health reasons, you have to eat beforehand. On an eve of Shabbos, this is not a problem according to most authorities. There's a minority view that says you're supposed to come into Shabbos hungry, so you can eat the Shabbos meal in an appetite. But we don't decide the law that way for most of the year, except for the eve of Pesach, where there is a positive commandment to eat matzah at night with appetite. So during the day, you're supposed to refrain from eating from a certain time. Big meals, not fruits and vegetables, big meals. But there too, if the issue is health reasons, this year, for example, the Seder is going to be very late because it's the end of April. So what you have to do is like this. Let's say the Seder could begin the first time at 8:45. But people have to eat dinner at 5:00, 6:00, the diabetics, they have reasons, so eat dinner at 6:00. But then, when the sun sets and the night comes, make the kiddush, eat, drink the 4 cups of wine, eat the matzah, eat the maror, eat what you need to eat. Leave a little room there, if you have to.
But don't eat the matzah before.
Don't eat the matzah beforehand, absolutely not. Yeah?
What about the certain days that are fast days, other than the kippur?
You don't eat,
unless they... 5:00 in the morning
till on minor fast days, the rabbinic fast days of the year, except for Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, it begins at dawn and it ends at dusk, or the rabbinic dusk, whatever that is. I said 22 minutes, but that's an approximate, yeah. So what about it?
What kind of meal
do
you have afterwards?
Anything you
want. Well, that's the way to fast whatever you want.
I'll give you a good one. There's one fast day, minor fast day, that can come out on Friday. That's Asar B'Tevet, the 10th of Tevet. It happened a few years ago. When that happens, you come to shul Friday night, you're really fasting. And when you go home to eat your Shabbos meal, you're eating it in a great appetite. But there's... Anyway, to make a long story short, there's no question that dinner can change if you're only going to eat dinner after shul on a Friday night. Let's continue. Day begins at night. So sleep is not a result of toil, but preparation for work. A new day brings new obligations. In the contemporary world, you come home at 6 o'clock, you're tired, you get a rest off from the day that's already ended. In the Jewish world, the day began. And finally, if the end of the day is the beginning of the next day, then it brings in new obligations. And that teaches you, don't leave for tomorrow the problems and now go to sleep. No. Now, the beginning of the new day, find your solutions to your problems. This actually helps you go to sleep at night. If you know that 6 o'clock brings in a new day, at 6 o'clock you're going to sit down with your planner, you're going to start thinking of all the problems, think of solutions, and then you'll sleep like a baby. But when you want to leave for tomorrow all the problems, how are you going to sleep at night? You have all these problems on your head. Practical issue. To make a long story short, just to sum up our lunch and learn for today. The time of day in Judaism is very important. That's why every shul has these calendars. And our synagogue is in the back of the room on that little table. And you have to know exactly what to do. There's appropriate times to daven every day. And there are certain appropriate times that are not appropriate for davening. Maybe it'll be appropriate for lunch and learn, but not appropriate for mincha. For example, right now it's appropriate for mincha if we wanted to, but not appropriate for ma'ariv. We can't daven the evening prayer now. And that teaches you that indeed, you have to think sometimes in life when it's appropriate, not just when it's convenient. And we ended off by saying that indeed this contradicts most of the contemporary world that we live in. But there's no question that at least on a Shabbos, we feel the extent of it. Because we eat our Shabbos meal after shul, which is basically after sunset and after dusk. And we end Shabbos after dusk as well. So at least once a week, we feel the natural way as the world goes. Yes, Victor?
These times that were calculated from 35 years ago, have said within 2 minutes. Does anyone check to see if these times stay accurate?
In general, I don't know when they announce on the radio when it's sunset. Usually it's exactly the same. Which is great. Yeah. Periodically. But sometimes, like the other day, I got a question. I'm not going to go into the question now, but basically sunset was the cutoff point. And so the sunset, according to the radio, was 5:03. And this woman did something at 5:04. And according to my calendar, it was 5:04. 5:04, 5:05. It's usually around the same time.
Now, there's an eclipse. Are any of those things
affect us at all? An eclipse is a very wonderful question. If there's an eclipse, can you daven ma'ariv? Because it's nighttime. Excellent. The question is, when it says it's nighttime in the Talmud, you have to daven ma'ariv, does that mean nighttime? Or does that mean when it's dark? If it goes by darkness, then it's an eclipse with daven ma'ariv. If it's not, it would be great. An eclipse in the middle of the day with daven mincha ma'ariv at the lunch and learn, get it over with. Oh, wonderful. Now the question. By the way, I'm pretty sure it goes by night and day, and not so much by darkness. That's the joke about the guy in the spaceship. Huh?
You can't go by darkness. I mean, certain parts of the world, it's dark out 3/4 of the day.
Like where? But even there, but there you have to be sensitive to time. So let's say, when is sunrise there? Right, Alaska. Yeah. Big question. I give you a better question, the opposite. I have a place in the world where I have a rabbi, a friend of mine. It's around Norwegian area, Oslo. And he has a problem in the summer where it doesn't have become dusk until around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right, in Alaska, my friend in Alaska.
And then dawn is at 3 o'clock in the morning. So there's exactly an hour every night to daven Maya between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And if it's Shabbos, to make Abdullah. All that is a problem. So what did he do? He davens Maya at the earlier opportunity, the plug of Mincha. Then he goes to sleep. You can make Abdullah the next morning. But the problem is, when you make Abdullah, you're supposed to use a candle. Because Adam, in the first Shabbos on earth, he rubbed two stones together and founded it on the eve after Shabbos. So to commemorate that, we always have a candle. Now, the candle is supposed to shed light. But when it's light outside, the candle is useless. The question was, can he make Abdullah on the candle in the morning? Imagine
room,
the way he lives. It's
in
awful.
In a dark room he could.
What? Huh?
In a dark room.
Yeah.
I don't think that's compatible. Like Muslims are five times a day.
I'm not familiar with their times. I'm not familiar with their times because it's not sunset, sunrise, because they dive in when it's still dark twice, and then and the winter is different. And I'm not sure. I'm really not a good safari.
I suspect it's a time of day thing because
they go by the lunar calendar like us, that's for sure. For their Ramadan, they go by the lunar calendar. Anyway, once again, we thank Elliot for getting us this room. We thank Doug Raphael for sponsoring the Lunch and Learn. And God willing, now you understand why davening, of course, changes and why.